You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
To write a novel about shallow, unsympathetic people in a dreary setting, some of whom make bad choices and come to a horrific end. That's how Lydia Davis describes the task Gustave Flaubert set for himself when he began Madame Bovary in 1851. As we know, he ended up with a masterpiece that redefined the novel form. Lydia Davis has given us a new translation in English published by Viking, and I'm delighted that it brings her back to our show today. Hi.
Hi.
Emma Bovary says at one point in the novel, "What I really adore are stories that can be read all in one go and that frighten you." The last time you were here was to talk about your own short stories, some of them one sentence long and often scary in their implications. Do you think Emma Bovary might have been a fan of your work?
Oh, that's hard to say. I don't think my work is quite romantic enough, actually. In fact, she probably wouldn't have liked it at all.
Well, she does like reading romances, but all sorts of different kinds of books. And she takes them all for the way life really is. Didn't Flaubert
that's
say...
Right, or the way...
Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you.
Sorry, go ahead.
You first.
Oh, the way life really is, or the way it really should be in its best possible form. Yes.
Didn't
the ideal.
Flaubert said that in some ways he was rewriting Don Quixote because the Man of La Mancha also took everything he read as the real thing.
Yes, I see him as a kinder, more empathetic figure than Emma. I'm afraid she was rather selfish.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Don Quixote can be selfish and has all the foibles, but for some reason we still love him. Emma is harder to take for a lot of readers.
She is, and especially I was just thinking today in relation to her child. It's you know if he hadn't included a little girl who needed a mother in the book and didn't really have a mother, we probably might be a little more sympathetic to her.
Now, Flaubert said, Madame Bovary, c'est moi. What did he mean by that?
I think he meant she's my invention. You know, you try to ask me, who is she modeled on? What story am I really telling from my neighborhood, from my county? But it's really what I put into her. That's what the character is.
Well, you could say all characters in a novel are c'est moi. But didn't he really identify most with one of her lovers, Rodolphe?
I thought he identified most with the pharmacist, who is actually a sort of a writer in the book. We see him writing quite regularly throughout the book. And, in fact, one of the most shocking moments of his writing, of Omay, this is the pharmacist, Emma is dying, and he needs to send a note to two of the more eminent doctors in the area to come quickly and help her. And he takes 15 drafts to compose this note.
A la Flaubert. Flaubert wrote,
yes.
How many drafts did he go through with this book?
Oh, various passages, I'd say at least five or six. I think I've read the figure of 4,000 pages to get to the length of the book that he actually ended up with. He would write whole scenes and then cut them out. So he would work very carefully on a scene and then take it out.
And didn't he once tell someone that he spent a morning putting a comma in and the afternoon taking it out?
Yes, you know, I always heard that. That's something I heard, you know, long before I read the book. And I later understood it a little better that, you know, he probably did a lot else besides put that comma in. But the comma was the only thing that stayed from the morning's work. And then he probably did a lot else in the afternoon, but the taking it out was the only thing that stayed.
You say that you found 19 previous translations of Madame Bovary into English. What did you hope to bring to your translation that the previous 19 didn't have?
It does seem mad, insane in a way. You know, you'd think, well, one of them must be good enough. And in their different ways, they're quite fantastic. But several of the best written, really, didn't feel they had to reproduce his style. And what I'd always known was that the style of this book was very important. And so I wanted to try to reproduce the style the way it actually is, with sometimes short, choppy sentences, and then suddenly a long lyrical one, whereas some of the translations would just smooth it all over and make it all lyrical.
And Flaubert stuck in a lot of italics, which pretty much all the other translators took out?
Some of the more recent ones have left them in, because I think there's a gradually changing idea of what translation should be, and more respect for what the original author actually did.
Well, how do you go about translating a book like this? Could a literal word-for-word replacement of the French words by their English counterparts work?
Well, that'll never work, except in the rare short sentence, I will not go or something. Mm-hmm. But no, it's never going to be quite that close because of our different idioms and our different ways of building sentences.
But French
you can get very, very, very close.
But French is closer to English than many other languages. Does that make it easier or more difficult? Because part of what makes a book like this so wonderful is the musicality of some of the language. And the French musicality is different than English musicality.
It is. But no, I think it does make it easier. I haven't had a lot of experience with, say, Japanese or Arabic. But
you speak German.
I do speak German, and I've translated some German, and I think that's a bit harder. But French musicality, we have our own musicality, and where the passage is musical in French, we can make it musical in English. Just a little bit, a different approach.
You've also translated Marcel Proust's Swan's Way. What do these two writers have in common, other than they were both great stylists in French?
Well, that's a big one right there. I think great care with what they were doing, but different sorts of care. Proust seemed to write more naturally. In other words, he didn't have to do as much revising to end up with what he wanted, whereas Flaubert was, in a way, working against the grain. His own natural style was not so much what Madame Bovary is. He tended to be more flowery and more romantic himself. And he had to curb that impulse and cut back and undercut the lyricism. You'll have a very lyrical passage which will end. The last sentence will be, or the last word will be the word potato. He'll bring you down with a thud.
This is actually the second novel that he wrote. The first one never got published. Is that right?
Well, he wrote actually drafts of two novels that later did get published, but the drafts were very preliminary. And then he wrote Madame Bovary.
Which almost seems like a miracle.
Well, a very hard-won miracle.
You've said that he worked hard, but you said you find doing translations relaxing.
Well, I really love the work because it is a form of writing, but it's a form of writing that doesn't have the same perils as one's own work. You're not sort of going off on an idea that might not work, that might not be a good one. You've got a text there already, and then you can do all the, I suppose it's almost like the revising stages of your own work.
Does translating allow you to borrow someone else's writing style for a while?
Oh, yes, I really like that very much. Given a couple of other lives, I would like to write like Proust or like Flaubert.
But is part of the challenge not imposing your own style on the text that you're working with?
Well, it's definitely one of the aims, and it's not much of a challenge because I simply somehow put aside my own writing style. What's given to me is the text the way it's written. And I completely subsume myself in that, disappear into it.
When Madame Bovary was first published as a serial, the government brought charges against the novel as being a danger to morality and religion. What happened?
Yes. What happened in the trial?
Well, there was a trial. I assume that sold books.
I'm sure that the combination of his reputation as a meticulous stylist and the scandal around the trial made the book very notorious. The trial really lasted one day, and he was acquitted. I think the decision came a week later. But the charge of being dangerous to morality was really not just the content of the book, but the author's, the attitude of the author, which was to say, I'm presenting you with a piece of life. I'm not judging it. I'm not saying it's terrible. I'm not saying these people are terrible. And I'm not even giving you a really good person. So he wasn't taking a moral position, really, and that's what was scandalous.
Madame Bovary is set in a country village near Rouen in Normandy. Is that typical of France? Isn't Normandy almost like another country in some ways?
It's very different, say, from the capital, Paris, mm-hmm. and the culture there. But I think at that time, every part of France had more individuality, was different. Had more individual characteristics.
And did he spend a lot of time there? Is this based on people he knew?
Oh, yes. Well, he was a native of Normandy. He was at first going to set it in Flanders, somewhere else. And then he came around to the idea of simply setting it where he knew the people best.
He had written some other things. How was he supporting himself?
He lived at home with his mother and his little niece. His father had died and his sister had died. And after a stint at law school, he had discovered that he was very ill with what now seems to have been epilepsy. And so he quit law school, gave him an excuse to quit something he hated anyway. And he went home, and that's where he lived and wrote.
In your introduction, you talk about Flaubert's use of the imperfect tense. How does he use it, and why is it something to even comment on?
It's the tense that tells how things were consistently and over and over and over again. And it's translated most often by our English would. He would go, he would sit, he would look, he would come home. It's hard to translate into that tense in English because of the repeated woulds. He would. So you have to fudge it a little. Start off with he would do this, he would do that. This, you know, his cane was at hand. He picked it up. You slide into the simple past tense. It's important. I think it was important for him to show the sort of dreary repetition that Emma found in place of the drama that she wished to find.
The edition also contains 30 pages of notes on the text explaining things that were familiar to Flaubert's contemporaries but not to us, like the different types of horse carriages the characters use. Was that your idea to include those notes?
It was. It grew gradually. Some of the other editions, translations, also have notes, but not as many. Once I got started, I couldn't stop because I realized that there were a lot of readers who wouldn't understand even something like bloodletting or a midwifery, things that some of us know very well. But I tested it out on a lot of younger people, college students, and they weren't clear about what these things were. And so at a certain point, I just decided to put notes in for all the features of the period. And
now,
I enjoyed it, actually.
A week from tomorrow, March 8th, you'll be introducing Vincent Minnelli's 1949 film version of Madame Bovary at the Film Forum and signing the books, your translation. Did you think that was a good film, a good presentation of the film? Was Jennifer Jones a convincing Madame Bovary?
Well, I'll have to tell you that I've been waiting to see it at the Film Forum. I was tempted to see it ahead of time. I'd heard terrific things about the ballroom scene. But throughout the translation, I've resisted seeing any movie versions because I know that they won't have much to do with the actual writing of the book. They're more about the plot of the book. But I've heard wonderful things about this one. So,
and then there's Claude Chabrol's version. There's been a whole bunch of different versions. Just as there have been all these different translations, but I think none has gotten more raves than your version. And I thank you so much for being with us today. Lydia Davis is a National Book Award finalist, Chevalier of the Order of Arts and Letters. She won the 2003 French-American Foundation Translation Prize for her translation of Marcel Proust's Swan's Way. And she was here recently for her collected stories, one of the most acclaimed books of 2009. Madame Bovary in the Lydia Davis translation is available from Viking. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you very much.